This is message 7, the conference of a church in Bangkok, October 2013. Verses are Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. Father, we come before you and ask that you give all the saints the spirit of wisdom and revelation to understand your will. We do not know how to build your church today. We need your spirit to come teach us. May you bless the meeting this morning and your spirit work among us. Amen. When we come to the third level of the Song of Ascents, the Lord shows us that we have to grow to such an extent that we can bear it. Besides, we also have to know him more clearly. Many Christians today are quite confused. They have no revelation. So may the Lord have mercy on us. As Christians, we need to continue to grow in life. Everyone has to know the Lord. And if you know the Lord, you also need to know what the will of the Lord is. To be a person who serves the Lord, you need to know the will of the Lord. You cannot do in vain. You cannot work loosely. You do your thing and I do my thing. According to the Bible, everyone can preach the gospel. There's no limit to it. Some preach the gospel out of a sincere heart. And some preach a gospel, like is said in Philippians chapter 1, that they are in competition with Paul, and it brings him more grief. And some preach a gospel in order to make money. So the Christian work is a good money-making business, and the Christians are easily deceived. You just give some talk and the money would roll in. A lot of Christians are superstitious. They'll just offer. You donate, you offer your money, and the Lord will bless me. No matter how you preach, people will get saved. It's not because you're a good gospel preacher, but it is because the Lord Jesus died for all men. So you can preach the gospel and so can I. Wicked people, bad people can preach the gospel as well as good people. There's no limit to the preaching of the gospel. Do not think that just because you preach the gospel and a lot of people are saved, oh, you're very great. You are not great at all because you did not die for them. If Toby, you died for them, then you are really great. You only preach what the Lord Jesus did for them. It was the Lord Jesus who died for them. Do not think that if you preach the gospel and people get saved, that it is It was out of your work. It was out of your effort. Oh, the effort goes to the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross. He died for all mankind. And he became the sinner's sin offering. He is the one who bore all your sins. It's not the pastor, and it's not the preacher. What can the preacher do? He only has a mouth. He only has a mouth. And it is the Lord Jesus who paid the price. He is the one who bore the sins of the world. He is a real Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. It's He who died for you, not Paul, not Peter, not the pastor, not the preacher. It is only our reasonable service that we preach the gospel. And woe unto us if we don't preach. If we preach, we're supposed to preach. Why are you boasting? Do you think that you can save people? You cannot save people at all. It is a blessing to us that we can preach the gospel. And it is something that we should be doing. But to build the church of the Lord, that is quite a different thing. You are a person in your flesh. You cannot build. If you just mess around, you cannot build. You don't know the Lord, you cannot build. If you don't change yourself, there's no way for you to build. If you come to the church, you end up being a big problem to the church. It causes division. And you do your own work. You want to get the award, so to speak. You want to be the great apostle. You want everybody to listen to you. Is that how is the Lord going to build the church? In the end, whose church is it? Is it your bride, or is it the bride of the Lord Jesus? Are you the servant, or are you the master? Are you the king, or is he the king? In the end, you are higher than the Lord Jesus, and everyone listens to you and not to the Lord. Now, is this still the building of the church? It's building in any old way. In those days when the Lord wanted to build his tabernacle in the wilderness, God brought Moses up the mountain. And God commanded Moses to build his tabernacle fully according to the heavenly vision, the heavenly plan. This is important. Moses could not just build in any old way. If you build it in any old way, do you think that God will come down and dwell in it? Our God is a glorious God. You have to remember that. The Creator of heaven and earth will not dwell in a house built by man's hands. So when we come to Psalm 127, unless it's Deyong who's so capable in building the church, unless the Lord builds the house. You have to remember this statement. Do not think that you are very capable. In the beginning, perhaps you think you're capable. But if you have learned, and you have passed through a lot, and you yourself also have seen a lot of failures, other people's failures, and your own failures, and you see that you are useless, you're unable to do anything. You know, man can be very capable in doing all kinds of work, truly so. But in order to build the house of God, to build something heavenly, Jerusalem, God's kingdom, nobody can build that. No one. Truly so, brothers and sisters. Do not think that man is capable. Perhaps in other things you are very capable. You, in making money, in deceiving others, in defrauding people, you are truly capable. Especially the Chinese. But to build a heavenly new Jerusalem, we have no way to do it at all. Besides, we not only cannot build, but your method would destroy God's building. If you use man's methods, you will be judged. God's building can only be done by Himself and through His Son and the Holy Spirit. Up until today, you see, what have the Roman Catholicism built? They built a Vatican. Is that God's building? Is that it? That's a place where the devil dwells. And how about the Lutheran Church in Germany? And the British Anglican Church. The Anglican Church. Is that the Church of God? Go take a look. Now today there are many denominations. They have all kinds of names. Is that the Church of God? Is it holy? Is it righteous? Is God's glory present? Of course. If we do not know the Lord, and we just look at the outward, oh, everybody's reading the Bible. What's wrong with that? In the beginning, when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, there was the Jewish religion there. And everybody thought it was the God who wanted to build up that religion. They did everything according to the scriptures. But that's not what God wanted to build. That's why, brothers and sisters, today, you need to pray. It's no use for me to be talking here. Brothers who came from Cambodia, you need to ask the Lord. You say, Lord, do give me a spirit of revelation. I'm willing to fully know your will. Do shed your light upon me. Enlighten me. And renew my mind. I need your revelation. If you don't pray in this way, and you just listen to man speaking, it's useless. Read the book of Ephesians well. We need the Lord's mercy. We all need the Lord's mercy. Lord Jesus, to help us, give us revelation so that we can understand your will. That's why it says here, unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. You did so much, and in the end, it's not the right thing. Tell me, didn't you labor in vain? It's better you didn't do it. And you did so much, and yet it's all in vain. You know, especially religious people, they're very diligent. They really work hard. The Pharisees, the scribes, they really put in a lot of effort. But in the end, it all would be burnt up. It would be rejected by God. God would say, I don't want this. That would not only be rejected, but much more, you will be punished. For the sake of the saints from Cambodia, let's take a look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's good enough if we just read it. Paul said in verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. First of all, your foundation has to be right. This foundation is the living Christ. It's not only the teachings. It's not objective. You have to know the living Christ. It's not a teaching. The Lord Jesus Himself is the foundation, the rock of the church. That is why when we want to build up the church, you have to know Christ. Not only believe in Him. Everybody believes in Him. But you have to be a person who lives Christ. You have to fear. You should be afraid that whatever you build is not upon this foundation. Do not think that you are gifted and you can build. Everything has to be in Christ. And it has to be through Christ. And it is, should also be unto Christ. These three things. This is what the book of Colossians tells us. God created all things. Let's take a look. Oh, do not leave 1 Corinthians though. Let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. What does it say here? Verse 15. Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. We'll read verses 15 and 16. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him. Of course, it was all created by him and for him, or unto him. In the beginning of verse 16, it says it's by him, and then it goes on to say it's through him, and it's also for him. He's the head. He's the source. And he's also the way. And he's also the goal. This is how the universe was built up. Without him, would there be this universe? Who designed this universe? You tell me there is no God? Without God, why do you like Bangkok so much? What's so good about Bangkok? It's a pretty place. It's a beautiful place. Who designed it? No one? If no one designed it, there'll be no Bangkok today. And what is Bangkok for? For the fallen people to just mess around here? No. Ultimately, God's creation is for God. If you don't believe it, you just wait a little while longer. Now, since this is how the creation is, don't you think that the church is not? The church is by you, through you, and in the end it's also for you? Is this how it is? By whom is the church in Bangkok built? That's why the book of Colossians tells us not only is the old creation like this, but the new creation has to be like this too. Isn't that right? It's not possible that the old creation was like that and in the new creation it's all built up by Toby. Toby would turn into tofu. No way. We cannot build anything. What can you build? You can't even build up your family well. What can you build? Your family is a mess and you want to build up the church. Do you have that ability? My heart aches to speak in this way because I have seen people mess around with the church. And it turned out into, I don't know what. You may be able to build a big building like the Tower of Babel. That is not the church. What does that thing have to do with the church? It looks very much like the world. When you see that, wouldn't you be in tears? Do you think that the Lord needs a big building? That's why. Unless the Lord builds, everything that you build is not. And it will all be burnt up. That is why the book of Colossians tells us very clearly. That's how it was with the old creation, and with the new creation, it is the same. So our Lord has to have the preeminence. All the fullness has to be in Him. If it is not Christ, it has nothing to do with the church. Man loves to use different methods. Recently, when I was in Korea, there is someone who is from Brazil that has something to do with the living stream before. He also wanted to work over there. And he told the saints in Korea, you people here in Korea, and you work for the Lord and you build the church, how should you do it? You should open up coffee shops. What does opening up coffee shops have to do with the building up of the church? We in Brazil, we produce coffee. You can buy coffee from me. And when you open up coffee shops, you can invite people. People can come have coffee, and when they have coffee, you can preach the gospel. It's not by the Holy Spirit. It's by coffee. How about that? Tell me, did the Lord Jesus open up coffee shops when He came to this earth? It's a Starbucks. He invited one of our brothers to his meeting. Thank the Lord. When our brother heard them speak in that way, he stood up. I did not come here to listen to this nonsense, and he walked out. Amen. He walked out. He changed his face. The lion face came out and he walked out. And I said, oh, we have hope. We've got brave warriors there. He walked right out. We want heavenly things. The Lord Jesus said, my kingdom has nothing to do with the kingdoms of this earth. I have nothing to do with this earth. Let me ask you, you young people who want to work for the Lord, is the Almighty God not sufficient for you?
do you need coffee? And do you still need to use some boom, 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 some band? What else do you need? Christian discos? Tell me, is the Holy Spirit not sufficient for you? And the power of the Holy Spirit is not sufficient for you? Oh, God's word is not enough for you? There's no power in it, and it cannot save? And you have to add some coffee into it, and then there's a good effect? Coffee is even more powerful than the Holy Spirit? Isn't this the case? Is this the case? Without coffee shops, nobody will be saved. Oh dear. And it's because you are useless, because you do not rely, you do not trust in the Lord. You do not trust in the Lord, but you trust the coffee. So I laughed so much that my teeth would almost fall out. I have pity on you. When people see you, they see coffee, or do they see Christ? From the uttermost part of your being, coffee flows out. The Lord says, he who believes in me, out of his belly will flow out rivers of living water, not coffee. Coffee. Can coffee save people? Lord Jesus. Other people may use coffee. But in the house of the Lord, you cannot use coffee. That's why you see, man's building uses man's methods. You say you're a free group and you can use, you're free to use any method. Do you think the church has such liberty? The church does not have the liberty for you to do things so loosely. The Lord did not say so, so you cannot do it. So when you come to the second level, the Lord says, no, it cannot be, definitely not. And you would say, why not? People like to drink coffee. Oh, it would draw people. What are you going to use to draw people? The Lord Jesus said, unless the Father draws, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. Without the Father's drawing, I keep waiting and waiting, and the Lord doesn't draw the people, so I bring some coffee to draw the people. I invite you to coffee. It's good. It tastes good. Does it taste good? Oh, you drink it. Oh, it really tastes good. Oh, do you know who created the coffee? Do you know from whom the coffee came? When you drink the coffee, you'll know there is God. Do you need coffee? We should not use other methods. Unless the Lord draws them. Unless the Lord draws you. Even if you come, I don't want you. You may go. Do you remember that rich young man? If a rich man would walk in here, if Bill Gates were to walk in here, what would you do? Oh, Bill Gates, please, please have a seat. Have a seat on the first row. Oh, come, sit on the first row. What would you do? You let Bill Gates sit on the very last row. If he would walk out because he doesn't get a first row seat, then he may go. The Lord Jesus told that rich young man, to make it brief in the end, he told him to sell everything. Not to give to him, the Lord Jesus, and tell him that. If it were you, you would say, oh, you go sell everything and give everything to me. The Lord Jesus does not want your money. He said, give it to the poor. You come and follow me. What did the rich young man do? He went away grieved. Did the Lord Jesus kept him? Did the Lord Jesus keep him? So if you want to go, you go. It doesn't matter. The Lord Jesus doesn't need you. Unless it's a father who draws people to him, the Lord Jesus will not force you to stay. It's definitely so. So today, in order to build up God's house, to build up the church, Lord, you need to admit, Lord, I cannot do it. You have to come and build. We can only follow you. You have to see the church to this extent. Because we people are very loose. Because we are very arrogant people, very proud. We know a little bit and we think that, oh, we're so great. Without God, without me, God cannot build a church. If it's you who build, then God will say to you, this is yours. I have no part in it. I don't want it. That's why, brothers and sisters, I really like Psalm 127. It saved me. And it will also save you. And it will save us all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, once again, Paul says, after you have the foundation, after the foundation is laid, you still need to have the real materials. You need to use gold, silver, and precious stones. These three materials refer to our triune God. You can only use the triune God to build. Everything has to come from Him. For the gold, you need to pay the price. Many Christians, especially a group of Christians that I know, they think that a certain person's messages are gold. That's not gold. Gold is God Himself. He is the most precious one. Do not think that your messages are very precious. When we were reading the book of Daniel, a brother told me, he says, oh, Brother John, you've got the print books. I said, there's already the book of Daniel. Do you want to come up with the second book of Daniel? Do you want to compete with the real Daniel? Would my speaking concerning the book of Daniel be better than the book of Daniel that the Lord spoke? The Song of Ascents are already here. Should I come out with another set? If you go read the Psalms, that's good enough. If you go back to read them again, perhaps you may see even more and get more riches out of it. Aren't the songs of ascents enough in the Psalms? This is how man is. So brothers and sisters, we all need to know this living God. Know the Father. Do you often cry out, Abba Father? Abba Father. God's word tells us to cry out to Abba Father. If you don't cry out to Abba Father, how would you get to know the Abba Father? You have to cry out to the Lord Jesus. Besides, you have to call on Him out of a pure heart. Do that. Call so loosely, but you have to call out, cry out to the Lord, Lord Jesus. Do not call out of a habit. Do not call loosely. That is why with our Lord Jesus, with our living Father and the Holy Spirit, we need to have a living relationship. Then you would have the gold, silver, and precious stones. Do not think that if you read a few messages, you will get some gold. Have you not read what the Lord said to the church in Laodicea? You have to come to me to buy gold. You go to some kind of a life study and you read a message and you get the gold. Oh, that's too cheap. The Lord said, you have to come to me. Did you buy? Amen. You know for yourself. You know how much gold you have. That's why you need to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. That means to say you have to experience this triune God. You have to draw near to the Father, right? To let Him speak to you. Reading the messages is useless. But if the Father would appear to you, and you have to experience the Lord saving you daily to save you out of this deceitful heart. This is a silver. A silver is the redemptive work that the Lord Jesus accomplished. How much silver do you have? It all depends on how much you experience His salvation. Do you have precious stones? That depends on how much transformation you have. Year by year, you're still the same old you. Then forget about it. You're still earth. You're still the natural self. If there's no transformation, how are you going to get precious stones? How are you going to build up the church? Don't think that church is just coming to some meetings and then we all go away and then we come back the next week. And the next week we come again. It's still the old man that shows up. There's no ascent. And there's no glory. Still the same old you. That's really pathetic. Now here Paul gives us a warning. He gives us a warning. Each one's work will become clear. That's why, if you're not exposed today, you'll be exposed one day. It's best that your work be revealed today. Then there's hope for you. There's salvation for you. But if you wait until the Lord Jesus comes, wow, that'll be too late. Since it will be revealed sooner or later, I'd rather it be revealed today. There's still grace and there's still salvation. But if you wait until the Lord before it's revealed, then it'll be revealed by fire. Today it's revealed by life and grace, and later on it'll be revealed by fire. Because that day will reveal it. There's fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Thank the Lord. Will your work remain? If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, because you're saved. Because salvation does not depend on your work. But the building depends on it. But you yourself will be saved, yet so, as through fire. Would you like to go through fire? Going through doesn't just take a second. As children, we like to move our finger through a burning candle. Oh, nothing happens. Because you just go, psh, nothing happens, it's just fun. In the future, when you have to go through fire, would it be fun? It would be like barbecue. That's why you have to be good today and not be loose. Let's go back to Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds a house, let him build. We do not have the ability. You know that you are not able. if you know that you do not have the ability, then you will not be proud because you don't know how to do anything. That is why you need to trust in Him. Trust in the one who knows how to build. Trust in the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He created the old creation, and the new creation is also done by Him. Thank and praise the Lord. How about you? You go sleep. You go sleep. Amen. How do we build in the church? We go sleep. You don't need to do anything. The less you work, the better. What does this mean? Do not work on your own, or rely on your own work. Paul said he died. He slept. So you're so active there, still so active. The more action you have, the more dreadful it is. If you don't have any action, it's okay. It's not the living action, but it's the fire. Your action will bring the fire down for things to be burnt up. That's why. Go to sleep. Don't come and take care of the church's matters first. Go to sleep first. I'm not joking. If you don't go to sleep and you want to deal with things, fire will come out of you, and with your mouth you go pak 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 pak. The cannons would come out of your mouth and fire would come out of you. And smoke would come out of your ears and your nose. It's very dreadful. You're like a dragon. The dragon would show up. That's okay. We all need to tell the Lord, oh Lord, we'll go to sleep. He grants sleep to those He loves. Go rest. That means to say, it's no longer you. Go to sleep. Sleep. You died. You're dead. But if you're not dead, it will be very difficult for the Lord to build. Because you would stick your hand in and He would stick His hand in. And the responsible brother would also intervene. And the sisters would intervene even more. When the sisters intervene, it's much worse. What I'm really scared of is when the sisters intervene, I would run away. Ask my wife. Oftentimes he'd tell his wife, he says, don't intervene, don't bother with it, just pray. Even though I don't want to intervene, my wife might want to intervene. But we all need to go to sleep. This is what the Bible says. It's only He who can build. Everything you do is all in vain. It is vain for you to rise early and stay up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so He gives His beloved sleep. If the Lord really loves you, He'll let you sleep. If the Lord doesn't love you, He'll let you kick around. Do you want to sleep or do you want to toil? And then suddenly He goes on to say, children, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is a reward. Children, the children of one's youth are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Oh, once again, you have arrows of the hands of a warrior. You remember the warrior's arrows? Oh, it shows up again. It's very good. What are the arrows of a young warrior? You're 80 years old, and you try to shoot an arrow, it'll drop right in front of you. But the young people, the youth, do not look down at the young people in the church, the youth in the church. That's the next generation of the church. It doesn't mean to say that the older ones are not important. But for the church to move forward to fight the battle, we need the next generation to rise up. That's why young people, don't think that just the Lord would use the young ones, but Satan also uses the young people to rise up to rebel. They can rebel against the elders. We've seen all that. Have you not seen that? I've seen too much. You train a group of young people to rebel. No. But in the house of the Lord, we need to cultivate, to train our next generation to be upright and to be holy and to know the Word of God and to love not to, and to learn not to love the world and be separated from the world. Our young people are a reward that God gave us. If the church does not have the next generation, the church has no future. So as responsible brothers, you need to love them and to cultivate them, nourish them. Nourish and cherish them. It's only in this way that they can become the arrows of the warrior. You have a bow, but you don't have an arrow. It's not for them to rebel against the elders, but it's for them to defeat the enemy. The church is strong.
whether the church is strong or not, you need to see the next generation. Generally, it's the first generation that is good, and the next generation is not so good, and by the third generation, it's all gone. But the Lord's house should not be like that. One generation needs to be stronger than the foregoing generation. Young people are for fighting the battle. They are warriors. That they are the arrows of the brave warriors. Don't just let the old folks do everything from the beginning to the end. It doesn't work that way. When you get old, you're just old. When your hair turn gray, they just gray. All the more, if your hair, you have white hairs, all the more you need to raise up this younger generation, the next generation, to raise them up, to let them learn, not to learn to give messages. And not to learn to gain knowledge. Lord, may the Lord have mercy on us. We need to pray for them and be a good example to them. If we're fierce, if the young ones stay with you, they also become fierce. I hope I'm not that fierce. If we are fierce, then the people that we raise up are also just as fierce. They scold people. If you see something wrong, just scold them. No, no. And the next generation will do the same. They will be like you because they learn from you. You have to learn of Christ. You have to learn Christ. You have to learn Christ. We want to give them the example that, oh, the brothers are those who live Christ. You know, Paul said to Timothy, what you have seen in me, his love, his willingness to suffer, his humility, his sincerity. He didn't say just his doctrines. He's willing to suffer because he is one who imitates Christ. I don't know who you imitate. As elders, you need to be imitators of Christ. It's only so that the next generation will have respect for you. If you want people to respect you, and yet you don't live Christ, why should they respect you? If the people respect you just because of your position, then you're wrong. They have to see the Lord in you. It's only in this way that you are worthy of the respect of the next generation. But if as elders, we don't know how to listen to the brothers and sisters to hear how they feel. They all just have to listen to me. Then what? That
that's why we need to raise the next generation. The building of the church cannot just stop as our generation. If you're 80 and 90, you're still serving there, and when you're almost dying, then you want to raise the next generation. There's no way. Time is up. Lord Jesus, this point is very important. It's not that the old ones are useless. No, I don't mean that. The church cannot do without the old ones. But we, the older ones, we should be good examples. And also allow the next generation the opportunity to rise up. This is according to the principle in the Bible. This is in what is told us in Numbers chapter 7. We'll continue in the next session. Amen.